What's going on, Purdy?
Pops, you're stuck in my video game. And the burning demon of deathly doom is trying to do you in. Fear not, innocent traveler in the land of certain obliteration.
I never thought I'd say this, but I'm glad you know how to play this crazy game!
Back to the future is my favorite thing. Always talk about it and write songs to sing. Even though there was never a part four, Marty McFly is coming back for more. I don't make money, get no fame. Love for these characters is what I blame. Podcast about comics and cartoons and more. Cause there's still things to explore in Marchie McFly 4. It's Marchie McFly 4. Can you feel it?
Happy Sunday night, everybody. It's March 24th, which means it's the 24th day of the fourth year of Marchie McFly. And today I am talking about the sixth episode of the second season, the 19th episode overall of the Back to the Future animated series. But before that, I hope everyone had a nice weekend. Today was actually a good day. I had a windfall of bananas. And you might say, well, what the hell does that mean? I do grocery shopping. There's no sponsorship here, but I do grocery shopping through Walmart. So I go through the app, I type in blah, 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 blah. And I started doing this late last summer. And I love it because it doesn't have everything that my old grocery store has, but it has almost everything. So I get just about everything I need. And I say, okay, I'll pick it up. I drive in, open my back of my car. They put it in. They say, thank you. And I go on my merry way. Well, today I ordered 8 bananas. And I double checked. I looked in my receipt. I ordered 8 bananas. So usually you get like a bunch, and or maybe they put 2 together so that it equals the 8 or something like that. And I was charged $1.39 for these 8 bananas. And when I came home, wasn't even paying attention. You know, I'm bringing bags into the house. My wife goes, how many bananas did you order? I said, oh, I got enough. I got extra, you know, so I could have some. And because she likes to have them in her smoothie. Folks, I must have 40 to 50 bananas. They gave me 8 bunches of bananas. Not 8 bananas, 8 bunches. They charged me for 8 bananas, but I'm keeping every goddamn banana. I gave some bananas to my parents. My wife's going to bring some bananas to school to leave them in the teacher's room. And I'm going to enjoy some bananas with peanut butter because I like to do that. I have this little... these little tiny little wraps, like the low-carb wraps, and I have these protein peanut butter. It makes it sound healthy, but really it's just a peanut butter and banana sandwich. So I'm going to enjoy copious amounts of that this week. That has nothing to do with Back to the Future, but I do want to tell you that I am almost finished editing the Back to the Future episode of Fine Movies, Fine Spirits. I'm calling it a Marchie McBonus. It's an unofficial Marty McFly episode, but it is covering the greatest movie of all time. And what it kind of going through it and adding clips and editing it and just rewatching it the other day, it is reassuring that even though this cartoon is subpar, it's reassuring when you go back to the original source material how great it is and how much you love it. And really, isn't that what Marty McFly is all about? All right, I'm not going to waste any more of your time. Let's start talking about this episode. Podcast listeners, what I just witnessed in watching this episode was one of the most insanely idiotic things I've ever seen. At no point in this episode's rambling, incoherent story was there even close to anything that could be considered a story centered around time travel. Everyone who has watched this episode is now dumber for having witnessed it. I award this episode 0 points, and may God have mercy on the souls of its creators. Folks, I'm talking about Season 2, Episode 6 of Back to the Future, the animated series, Brave Lord and the Demon Monstrux. Say it with me, Brave Lord and the Demon Monstrux. This might go down. This might be the lowest of the low. I feel like there's a way to climb out of it. And what you could do on a show called Back to the Future is, you know, maybe toss in a little time travel, just a little bit. You know, there isn't a notion of time travel in this episode. We don't see the DeLorean. I don't even think we see the DeLorean at all. This is an episode that I think some old guy wrote and thought, you know what's huge? Video games. Let's do an episode on video games. I don't know why he sounds like that, but he does today. Well, who was this episode written by? It was written by our friend Wayne Katz, who writes all of the live action segments with Christopher Lloyd this season. And they're kind of showing they're a little weaker, I think, than they were when they were written by Peyton Reed last season. I think he writes all of them, and Bob Gale directs all of them. And we're out of the Doc's workshop again. I almost don't even want to waste your time with this, so I'm gonna do it. I'm going through it, but oofa boofa. This I was just like watching this, going, this is not good. It opens up with Doc seemingly looks like he's in some sort of Indy car. Is that the one where they, you know, they have the big fin on the back and the giant tires? I really have no idea. But it turns out he created an awesome simulator that he uses to, I don't know, simulate racing. And he is talking about how it's, I don't know, it helps him, it makes it feel like the real thing. And I thought of that Gran Turismo movie, which I do want to see, where, you know, it is based on video game, people who are really good at this racing video game and transferring that into real life, which is basically, it's like a real life actual version of The Last Starfighter, right? Isn't that what that is? So Doc talks about how a video game company, or an arcade, I should say, not a video game company, an arcade approached him about purchasing this awesome game, which really all it is Doc in front of a green screen with some film footage of race cars. And I feel like when you were a kid in the 80s, maybe even the 90s, having a game where it looks like you're actually playing in front of film would probably look really cool. And nowadays they can make it almost look exactly like that. But I just thought that was kind of funny. Just the fact that he thought this was so impressive, which maybe at the time it was, but it doesn't look it. So he's like, but we've had a kind of a falling out with that arcade. And that's the story we're getting here. No one can find Vern. Oh, I've talked about this, right? Jules gets screwed in almost every episode. He barely does anything. Now, he at least plays a part in this episode. He at least has something to do, but it's because he's basically trying to help or then clean up what's happening in the main story, which is Vern again. Vern Brown is the star of the animated series. I've come to realize it's not Doc, it's not Marty, it's Vern Brown. He is the main character. Doc and Marty tie, I think, for second, and Vern's like behind them. So nobody can find Vern, and Doc's like, I'll go look for him. And he's got a silly invention, but before he does that, he gets a phone call from the Johansons. And the way out is Vern, he's supposed to be cutting my grass, and we can't find him. He's got this guy is like a neighbor with huge grass. No one can find Vern. He's not doing his chores. And it turns out he is at a video arcade. He is playing this game that is, and actually, if I play this game as a kid, I would think it is amazing. It's a giant castle in the middle of the arcade, and the video game is like on a turret. I think that's what it's called. In the middle, there's a screen, and his chair is almost like a throne playing the game. Now, the sounds of the game are nonsense. They're like, I almost feel like is it Super Mario Brothers? It's a very familiar sounding sound from an existing game, and they're just using that as sound effects. But the game is a swords and sandals kind of adventure game, and I think you are Brave Lord. Now, Brave Lord looks like He-Man. I mean, he's got the same, he's blonde, he's buff, he's got this gray thing. Now, it has a gray bee over his chest, but he's wearing red gloves. He just is like completely reminds me of He-Man, and yet the entire time he sounds like Arnold, or I guess he sounds more like Kevin Nealon doing Arnold or Dana Carvey. You know, he's like talking like this the whole time. He's like, oh, you gotta, and he used the term girly man many times. He used girly man. I mean, very much, you know, SNL at the time. But he fights this giant demon, I guess, called the Demon Monstrux, who at one point I thought was Clancy Brown doing the voice, but I don't think he is in the credits. And if he is, I mean, they wouldn't, these credits aren't good enough. Even the end of the show, they just shows voices and it has a bunch of voices, so you really can't pin down who the hell is who. But he's like a deep voice demon, blah, blah, blah. And he's fighting the He-Man looking dude. And Vern is playing this game to the point, he's so good at it that the store's like, come on, we need to close. And then the game finally ends. He goes, oh, man. And it turns out that his parents are there. They unplugged it, the video game. And he's in trouble. He has to come home. In fact, he's been grounded and he's going to miss the next 4 soccer games. And Marty's upset. Maybe Marty's the coach. I hope Marty's not on the same team. But then Vern starts throwing his clothes out the window. Then he throws his mattress out the window. And I thought maybe he did that so he could jump out on the mattress and get back to the arcade. But instead, he's like, hey, you two, go get the video game and bring it home to me. And they're like, what? He goes, come on, Jules, I'll do your homework for a month. And Marty, you can have my baseball card collection. They're like, you think we can be bought? You're right. And they run off. But again, I don't know what the mattress was. I don't know what that point was. It doesn't come up again. Doesn't make any sense. So it's 1992 and video game technology it's good, but it's not, you know, to the point where you can play games online or remotely or anything like that. 92, I think we were still heavy into Sega Genesis and Nintendo Entertainment System. Those were our two go-to, and my Sega Sega Game Gear. Thank you again, Sean. So the cool thing is Vern does one thing, or Jules does one thing. He figured out a way to beam the signal from the video game, from the arcade, to their house using their home television antenna. They don't have cable. You hook up a receiver to this antenna, and you run the wire to Vern's game, and then Jules can hook up the other side at the arcade. Okay? That's the conceit. That's how it works. That's how they can, you know, remotely play video games. It is very ahead of its time. Back at the arcade, a kid is playing this game, and Biff Jr. comes in and bullies the kid, and makes the kid sad. The arcade dude calls Biff at his house and complains that your son is beating up the arcade. He has a baseball bat he took from the batting cages, and he's smashing the video game because he's not very good at it. So the Biff actually gets on the phone with him. He says, "Keep up the good work, son." I don't know why he sounds like that. He's like, "Keep up the good work, son." Meanwhile, Jules is hooking up what looks like jumper cables to these two connectors on the giant video game to, you know, so he could beam it back to Vern. And something goes wrong. Something goes kablooey. And the video game system sends out a blue signal. It connects to Biff Jr., travels through his phone line, and goes out to Biff. And what happens? The demon in the video game comes out of the phone in Biff's house and is alive and is real. That's right. You heard me. It's kind of scary because he peels his face off and he's got this big skeleton underneath it. The design of the demon and the voice of the demon, kind of cool. The way he talked had a very Audrey 2 vibe, but the look of it was the one good thing I could say about this game. So, oh, and then at Vern's house, the friggin', what the hell's his name? The, you know, Brave Lord. Brave Lord comes out, so he's alive, and he's there in real life, too. But what happens when, at the same time that happens, Doc gets zapped, Doc goes into the video game, okay? This is, again, Back to the Future. What are we doing? We're getting sucked into video games, and characters in video games are getting pulled out of video games into real world. That is the gist of everything. We cut to commercial, and true facts. True to its name, the Brussels sprout was first cultivated in Brussels, Belgium, however. Oh, in Brussels, Belgium. However, the apple did not originate in Appalachia. Ha, 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 ha. That came up because Vern had to come home and eat his Brussels sprouts. They had to make a connection somewhere. So now Doc is in this video game. He's running away from fiery, evil candles. What's the candle dude in Beauty and the Beast? It's like that, except evil, chasing Doc. Meanwhile, Marty is hanging from the friggin' antenna for some dumb reason. So Doc, this is really weird. They're like, "Brave Lord, you have to help us." And meanwhile, Brave Lord is like, "I can't. I'm lubing up my pecs." Those are actual words said in this episode. But he actually put glue on him because he's really dumb. So while that's going on, over at Biff's house, the demon now is obsessed with, looks like, soap operas and Coca-Cola. He's drinking it. He sends Biff out to get him more. He's reading tabloids. And the TV in this room is now huge. I don't know if he demonized it and made it bigger. Probably because he then makes a chair come to life. He makes a piano come to life. He makes a refrigerator and an oven come to life. This is all happening in this episode. Meanwhile, Vern is playing the video game, trying to keep Doc alive. Clara comes in and she's like, "Let me deal with this." She takes over the video game. She starts trying to keep Doc alive, and she's doing a great job. Meanwhile, they need to go back to the arcade and reverse the switch, because that is a magic mofo that's going to apparently undo everything that they did. So they head back with Brave Lord to try to turn off the switch. Brave Lord isn't so brave. He sees a cat. He freaks out. He's afraid. And then they... what's going on? Oh, Biff. Yeah, who cares? Biff finds out that his son... Oh, they need... Wait a minute. Brave Lord... Wow, who gives a shit? The demon Monstrux realizes that the only one who can fight him is Biff's son, because he's good at the video game or something. So they have to go to the arcade and take over the arcade. Brave Lord sees that, and he freaks out, and he panics. and he leaves. He is actually a chicken. He runs away. So now it's up to Vern and Marty and Jules to go in themselves and turn off the video game, turn off the transmission to shut everything down. All kinds of shit happens. All kinds of things come to life. But in the end, they're able to figure it out. Vern shoots something because he knows how to play video games, so he's able to fight off all these little demon things that the demon demonizes and then sends after Vern. And at the last second, he's able to turn off the machine. I don't know. And everyone's safe. Everything's good. But now Vern is really good. He's doing his paper out. He's mowing his lawn. He's doing all his chores. He's eating his Brussels sprouts. And all because, I don't know, he learned his lesson somehow, saving things. It doesn't matter. He's like, you know what? I want mom. Why? To take you to the arcade? No, I'm not worried about the arcade. To take me to soccer practice. Meanwhile, where's mom? Clara is now with the video game. She's obsessed with video games now because she learned how to play video games, when she saved friggin' Emmett. And that's it. That's the episode. No time travel. They don't go anywhere. No DeLorean. Nothing. The episode is based in a fact that now in the Back to the Future world, monsters and video games can come to life and demons can come out. All of these things are now canon in the cartoon. Okay, I know they're not canon in the Back to the Future world, but in the cartoon, every time I read one of these comic books from the Untold Stories, it's been a really well-constructed story that, you know, leaves me smiling. And the cartoon does almost the exact opposite of that. It leaves me, my mouth is like, instead of it almost looks like a smile if you're from far away or if you're squinting, but I'm really just growling. So now Doc's like, hey, you know what else I can do? I can make my simulator fly. That's what he does. He makes it fly and he talks about long distance communication. How in flights you have long distance communication. I guess the video game was long distance communication. And then we get some breaking news. Bill Nye the Science Guy speaks. I think. I don't know if it was a voiceover or not. But Bill Nye the Science Guy, basically, he's outside. He's demonstrating how to make a long distance dedication, you know, a long distance communication. And I'm thinking of Casey Kasem, long distance communication from Bill Nye the Science Guy. Bill Nye the Science Guy actually takes two cups and string like he's in goddamn Little Rascals, and he makes himself a long distance communication. He really does the old fashioned two cups, one string. I don't know if that made me think of something else. But he really does the thing where you tie the string to the cups and pull it. And that really works. And it's a fun little tool, cute little thing to do. It just feels like even in 1992, this was old fashioned. But he talks a little. It's like, I'm communicating. He says something. It almost sounds too clear. Like either they did it, you know, he added his voice after or someone else added his voice after. But that's it. And then we cut back to Doc and he's got a cup and string and he's trying to call Clara because, he accidentally crashed his plane. Yes, it's a simulator, but he accidentally crashed it. He's like, maybe this simulation is too realistic. I'll see you in the future. And that's the end of the episode. We did it. We made it. We survived. Again, after watching something like this, I feel like it has to get, it can't get worse, right? Like Vern's new friend, that was kind of fun. You know, they went to the 40s. It was the they time traveled. They went back to see a circus. The circus guys were kind of funny. This one, I don't know. It was not good. And you know, I giggled. I don't know if I giggled. It was like some of the voice acting was funny. The look of the demon was kind of cool. The story was garbaggio. I believe that's Spanish for garbage. And I don't want to talk about it anymore. So I'm going to finish up here and I'm going to get back to editing my Fine Movies, Fine Spirits episode covering the classic, the original, the greatest, Back to the Future from 1985. Hopefully going to get that up either tonight, tomorrow, or within the next couple of days. If I don't get it up tonight, I think I'm going to get it up tonight. I'm giving myself an out in case I don't. So that's it, my friends. Thank you for listening. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Mastodon.social, and Blue Sky over at Geek Mentality. You can find us on Facebook at fans.experts, on YouTube at fans.experts, and the website, which is fansnotexperts.com. I will talk to you tomorrow, because that's what I do. But until then, thank you for listening, thank you for subscribing, and here is my theme song.
This is my podcast, I made it. Geek Mentality's what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. 'Cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.